This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hit my music!
Break it down!
Oh, you didn't know?
Stand back!
I'm a nice man!
Mamacita!
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Eat me!
Let's go!
You're listening to Music of the Mat on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of pro wrestling. It's all part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich. This is episode 147, and it's about the themes of Sheamus. And today I am joined by another Irish icon. He is one of the hosts of Days of Thunder, also on the VOW Network. Once again, it's Lee Malone. Hello again, Lee.
I'm going to add that to my list of monikers on Days of Thunder now, the Irish icon. I am very good, sir. How are you doing this fine weekend?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. Good to have you back on here, of course, as always. And Go ahead.
I was told that when you come on three times, you get a special plaque.
It's in the mail. It might take a while to get there, unfortunately, but you'll get it sooner or later, I'm sure. But but last time you were on here, Lee, was well over a year ago at this point. And since then, you've had another kid, a daughter. So, a belated congrats to you on that, my friend.
Yes, it's actually coming up to our first birthday. So, yeah. funny story about that was I was actually doing a podcast with Garrett and Liam. A special crossover podcast between You've Got to Be Kidding Me and Days of Thunder, and it was like 3 days before Grace was born, and Garrett had no idea that my wife was even pregnant. And afterwards he was like, what are you doing podcasting about WWA when you should be in the hospital?
Listen, someone has to cover, you know, Road Dogg and Brian Christopher and the Fruits and Suits, all the legends of WWA. Someone's got to do it there, Lee. It's got to be you, I guess. So
the legendary Fruits and Suits.
Yes, of course. Well, congrats again, and
thank you very much.
I'm sure you can't wait to introduce her to, you know, Mike Enos and Vincent and Stevie Ray, the whole gang, Lee. Right? Come on.
I've already put my son through enough thunder, more thunder than any child should ever have to watch. So I'm not gonna put Grace through that as well. So.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just saying, like, if her first word isn't Mongo, then what's the point, right? It's a waste of a first word there, Leah, right? Come on.
It'll be either that or Larry, chanting Larry.
just whisper to her in her sleep, Mongo Spike, Pepe the dog. You know, get her while she's young, man. Come on, gotta do it there. But Lee, you are, of course, from Ireland, and we've done a couple episodes already about some Irish people in wrestling. Finn Balor, of course, the McMahon family, also of Irish descent, and now we're completing the trifecta here with another Irish wrestler, Sheamus, the Celtic Warrior, the Great White, which not the best nickname in my opinion there, but actually, I didn't realize this until very recently. This year is the 20th anniversary of Sheamus' debut in wrestling. He debuted in 02, and he got injured early on and took a little bit of a break, and he came back in like 04. But yeah, he's been wrestling for 20 years now, so a good time to do an episode about him, I'd say. And obviously, the large bulk of his career has been in WWE, but he did spend some time, you know, on the indies before that, including Irish whip wrestling in Ireland. And Lee, since you live in Ireland yourself, did you ever go to Irish whip wrestling back in the day and see Sheamus on some shows?
I went to many an Irish whip wrestling show. I was actually an Irish whip wrestling trainee at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was at the time that Sheamus would have been there most weekends. But yeah, I've seen SOS, as he was at the time, wrestle. A lot.
You know, there's some alternate timeline out there where you're on WWE TV every week as a featured star, and he's sitting here with me doing a podcast about your theme music. It's possible, Lee. I'm just saying it's possible.
Oh, no. That was never, ever possible. If you think Dominic Mysterio is bad, Jesus. You've never seen me take a bump.
I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it. Yeah, but yeah, if you go on YouTube, you can find some matches of Sheamus in Irish whip wrestling against, like, you know, Vampiro and Wade Barrett or whatever. And it's weird to see him, A, so young and with normal hair or whatever, and B, outside of WWE, because, you know, like I said, he's been in WWE forever. You know, it's like him, Dolph, Miz, and Kofi, they're like the elder statesmen of the company at this point. And he's done pretty much everything you can do in WWE as well. You know, world champion, US champion, tag champion. He won the Rumble, Money in the Bank, King of the Ring. You know, he beat John Cena for the belt within, like, what, 6 months of his main roster debut? It was a tables match, of course. It wasn't like an actual, like, definitive win over John Cena, but still, they gave him the belt pretty quickly, and he's been a featured guy, you know, ever since for over 13 years at this point. It's pretty crazy, Lee.
Yeah, he beat Cena for the belt, obviously lost the title in the run-up to WrestleMania or whatever, and then had like a WrestleMania feud with Triple H. Like, he was instantly, he was never anything other than a top guy for a long time. And yeah, no, it's like, it's amazing. Like, we never had any Irish WWE stars up until Sheamus, and now there's Becky, there's Finn, and there's somebody else in NXT. but yeah, it's amazing, like, for such a small country to have somebody be so prominent for, as you say, like, the guts of what, the last 17 years pretty much. Well, no, he was on the main roster in 2009. So the last, 14, 15 years? So
13 years.
13 years, is it? Never do math on a podcast. But yeah, no, it's really great to see. And he's still one of the best in WWE, as witnessed by his matches with Gunther this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's someone who I appreciate a lot more nowadays than I did back then. Like, I never hated Sheamus, but I never really held him in high regard compared to, you know, other guys I liked a lot more. And the booking didn't help him either, really. You know, him beating Bryan in 18 seconds at Mania that one year, I wasn't a big fan of that one. And we'll get to the League of Nations later on, of course. But stuff like that, that was the booking. That wasn't him. And over time, I've grown to really appreciate him as this guy who just, you know, kicks some ass. Like you said, those Gunther matches recently were pretty awesome because they just beat the crap out of each other. And it's cool because, you know, Sheamus is milk bottle white, so those chop marks from Gunther are going to show up real nicely there, Lee, that's for sure.
Yeah, you get a nice idea of just how hard Gunther hits. But I really do think that Sheamus is somebody that, when eventually people are insane enough to go back and rewatch Raw over the last, like I say, 10 years, Sheamus is somebody that will really come out of it looking well and be a lot more appreciated maybe in the future than he was at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, personally, I would love to see Sheamus in like a G1 against, you know, Shingo or Ishii or those guys, and or maybe a Noah with Go Shiozaki and Kano or whatever. But look, at this point, he's 44 years old. He's 20 years in. I think he's going to be a WWE lifer there, you know, until the end. And why not? Again, he's been a featured guy there more or less his entire run. He has his own group now, the Brawling Brutes, with, you know, Ridge Holland and our good pal Butch. So, yeah, I think he'll just be a WWE guy until it's time to, you know, retire there, Lee.
Yeah, I can't see him ever leaving. When he was growing up, it was all about WWE. There was nothing other than WWE. So I'm sure he's happy and he's made a lot of money doing what he's doing. And I don't see him ever kind of walking away from that.
So let's get to these themes here. We have five on the docket, and we'll start off in Irish whip wrestling. That was Sheamus's home base in the mid-2000s there. He was also their inaugural champion, actually, and he was known as you said there earlier, Lee, SOS, Sheamus O'Shaughnessy, which I want to bring this up now, actually. I had always thought that Sheamus got the spelling of Sheamus, S-H-E-A-M-U-S, in WWE, because, you know, I'm not Irish, but as far as I know, the name Sheamus is traditionally spelled S-E-A-M-U-S, like Sean Connery or Sean Bean, S-E-A-N, same sound. So I thought Vince saw the name Sheamus and was like, well, goddamn, pal, put an H in there. We can't call him Seamus. But no, apparently the H was around long before he was in WWE. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's traditionally spelt with an S-E, but maybe there are people out there that have S-H. But yeah, no, he was always S-H, Seamus O'Shaughnessy, yeah.
Interesting, yeah. Well, in any event, Seamus' theme in IWW is by Alan Doyle and Fergal Davis, and it's called The Irish Curse. Gonna bring it to you, so what you gonna do? Gonna give him a all, cause I got nothing to lose. Stand up and you're gonna get put down. Coming straight from a double in town. Gonna bring it to you, so what you gonna do? Gonna give him a all, cause I got nothing to lose. I bring the pain with a fist full of fury. I'm the judge, the jury, and you've just been sentenced. When I wrote these words, I meant to send this message to all. You rise against me, you'll fall. You're messing with the SOS. Means you're messing with the best. I must confess, I leave your body in distress. Cause I've been blessed to take a bite down. Here's the storm from Dublin town. Well, I've seen the worst. It's the Irish curse. To enter the ring, would you be leaving worse? Needing a nurse. Cause I got the thirst to come first in the worst way. Cause today is my day. So what do you say? So what do you say? Well, let me hear you now. Now, what do you say? So what do you say? So what do you say? Well, let me hear you now. Now, what do you say? Stand up and you're gonna get put down. Ooh. Coming straight from a Dublin town. So I had never heard this song before, and I didn't really know what to expect, and I'll be honest, aggressive tribal rap was a bit out of left field to me, especially for Seamus, who doesn't come off as a real big rap guy of any sort. But regardless, you know, we still have the tribal drums and the battle horn and the ooh and all that. That's definitely in line with, you know, Seamus being the Celtic warrior, which he's been for all these years. It's just, you know, when you add stand up and you're going to get put down, coming straight from the Dublin town, that's the jarring bit to me, Lee, you know?
Yeah, I have no memory at all of Seamus having this rap song, bring them to the ring. As best I can possibly say is that, like, in late, like, 2004, 2005, he was spending a lot of time in the UK doing like the Wrestling Channel stuff. I'm sure everyone that listens to the show is familiar with the Wrestling Channel that was around for a long time in the UK and Ireland. And I would think that somebody through there kind of hooked him up and got him his own specific theme song. And this is what they came up with. Because, yeah, I cannot ever recall Seamus coming out to rap at an IWW show that I attended. But yeah, no, this is, it just doesn't work for especially white guy Seamus with his kind of Heath Slater type haircut. It just doesn't work, does it?
It's odd, yeah. I mean, lyrically, it's pretty standard stuff. Don't mess with me. I'm the best. I got the people behind me, all that kind of stuff. It's no too many limes or lobster head, of course, but what is really, But I will say, these are very safe lyrics. No cursing, no explicit violence whatsoever. And there is one part where it's like, so what do you say? So what do you say? Well, let me hear you now. Now, what do you say? So what do you say? So what do you say? Well, let me hear you now. Now, what do you say? Not the strongest lyrics in the world, I don't think, there, Lee.
No, I don't think this is going to win any awards for originality. That's what makes me think it was just purely a hookup through the Wrestling Channel, that they just got this thrown together and it was something they could put on the on between shows. Like, kind of, they do these kind of adverts for different wrestlers. So like, they'd have one for Samoa Joe with his theme music, they'd have Alex Shane or whatever from the UK, and they'd all have their own little theme music playing over it. So this is what I imagine this was made for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say I am pretty impressed that we have a custom made theme song for an Irish indie wrestler in, like, what, 05, 06 or whatever, you know, well before the Brit Rez and Irish boom, where you had, like, a Mikey Ruckus doing songs for indie wrestlers there. Well, here's Seamus doing it, like, a decade earlier with his own song. He's not coming out to U2 or the Cranberries or the Pogues or whatever. It's pretty impressive, Lee.
Yeah, I was trying to think, I'm sure I have some IWW either DVDs or whatever or somewhere around the house, but... And I was racking my brain after I started listening to this. I was like, I cannot recall him using it, and I was trying to think of what he would have come out to. And as best I can guess is he would have been like a generic kind of Welcome to the Jungle type, you know, baby face. And that's what you would normally have. So, but yeah, no, having the kind of the tailored music was a big deal. But yeah, no, it's just, I don't think it's one that he will look back on fondly. I'm sure if you sent him a link to it today, he wouldn't be playing that too loud in the gym.
maybe not. Yeah. My only big complaint about this is that with the SOS nickname, he didn't have his own version of Kofi Kingston's theme. SOS, I am Sheamus. SOS, I am Irish. What could have been, Lee? What could have been?
So much potential.
Yes. Well, in 2007, Sheamus signs with WWE and goes to their developmental territory, FCW, Florida Championship Wrestling, first as Sheamus O'Shaughnessy and then just as Sheamus. And pretty soon, he'd be FCW Florida Champion. How about that? And his first FCW theme is from the Extreme Music Library. This is Blues Saraceno with Air Check. So if any song defined the term 2000s wrestling video game menu music, it's this one, because this is as generic metal as you get. Just a totally forgettable, dime a dozen kind of song. And on the one hand, I get it. It's FCW, it's developmental, it's not a big deal. But on the other hand, it's Sheamus. And we're so used to his music having at least some sort of Celtic touch in there. And this doesn't. It's just a standard rock song. So yeah, pretty forgettable in the long run there, Lee, I'd say.
Yeah, I got real, like, Korn vibes off this. Like, a very much a, like, kind of synth metal style. Like you say, just total menu music on a video game. And it's so odd that when they were bringing in, like, guys like Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, and they were giving them just these kind of generic rock, and there was, like, no link to their actual gimmicks of being the Irish guy, the Scottish guy, or whatever. And you would think they would have that kind of Celtic style, whether it be the drums, the guitars or stuff. But this is just so, just, this could be anybody. This could be Tyson Kidd. This could be Eli Cottonwood. It just screams FCW, really.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very surprised they didn't go with the super Irish music right off the bat here, because, I mean, look, his name is Sheamus O'Shaughnessy. He's got red hair, he's very pale, he wears the Celtic cross, and it's a post-Finley Hornswoggle world. Like, that is the perfect scenario for, you know, my name is Sheamus, and I love to fight. But there's none of that here, and you really wouldn't expect that in WWE of all places, because, look, they love to smash that ethnic button with the music time and time again. So, yeah, without it, it's pretty strange there, Lee.
Yeah, and it's, you know, Sheamus was probably relieved by that in some degree.
Oh, yeah.
Really, that he didn't have to be, like, the guy that was going to come out with a leprechaun again.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, if I'm an Irish wrestler and I want to be taken seriously and not get pigeonholed, I'd probably not want the ultra-stereotypical music, because there's a big difference between, you know, Becky Lynch and her first NXT theme and gimmick with the Irish jig dancing and the green gear and the, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do and all that. And later Becky Lynch, where she became a much bigger star with the more, you know, standard rock kind of theme. So, yeah, I doubt Sheamus was cursing his luck at the lack of, you know, Celtic jig music his first time around, that's for sure.
I'm sure he was happy just to be generic big guy that beat people up.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, Blues Saraceno, I saw that name and I thought, that sounds kind of familiar. We've never heard that before. He did the song Evil Ways, which was AJ Styles' theme in TNA in 2013 when he went all rogue and on his own and, you know, grew his hair out. That's the same guy who did this one. And I'd say I prefer that AJ theme over this one by a lot. So, you know, the duality of man there, Lee, I suppose. You know, there you go.
Yeah, they can't all be hits.
No, no.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's gonna be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably gonna get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You can display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. keyless entry. No more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
So while in FCW, Sheamus got a new theme song, and this would actually carry over to the main roster in 09. So from the ECW brand to Raw, beating Cena for the belt, and the face turn, and the Brian squash at Mania, all that stuff, up until 2015. So a good long while there. This is by Jim Johnston featuring Sean Jenness off of WWE The Music A New Day Volume 10. This is Written in My Face.
It's a shameful thing, you've lost your head. A careless man who could wind up dead. You'll wear your sin like it's some kind of prize. Too many lies, too many lies. Oh, these words are true, and I'll make you believe. Yeah, you fight for air and struggle just to breathe.
So we can sit here and make the references to, you know, Too Many Limes and Lobster Head and all that fun stuff, but I gotta say, forget the memes. This song is a grade A certified banger. I loved it when it came out, I love it to this day, and it fits Sheamus like a glove in terms of it being like this impactful rock song with the Celtic flavoring to it that isn't too over the top either. So it's a good mix as well. And again, I'm not Irish, but when that chorus hits, and it's like, oh, these words are true, and I'll make you believe. I'm like, yeah, Shamrocks, Buxty, let's go. It's a great song lead for sure. I love it so much.
Yeah, listen, I love the song. This is Sheamus to me. This is his like iconic song for me. I know he's had Hellfire for a little bit longer already, but this is the song that screams Sheamus. Like, I love the drums in this. Like, it's just, the drums drive the song so well. And yeah, even the harmonies, like the ooh, it just makes you feel good listening to the song. You feel like alive. And yeah, no, I love it. I love it just as much as you. I loved that at the time. I was disappointed when he stopped using it, but I would love him to I know they won't because it's Jimmy Johnson's song, but I'd love them to bring it back for even just the tail end of his career.
Same. It's so good. And the lyrics, you know, there's a real religious aspect to this song I didn't fully realize until, like, just now. Lines like, "You wear your sin like it's some kind of prize. I will see you ride it straight to hell." The whole second verse is like a biblical apocalypse. "It's written in my face, in the shadows of my eyes. When the devil comes to call you, it breaks your earthly ties. The land will break and the seas will rise. The wind will rage as it burns up the sky. All your beliefs will be broken and fall on your final day, because I'll end it all." I mean, it's not like Seamus ever had a Father Ted gimmick, you know, but still, the Celtic cross, Ireland's a very religious country, that probably inspired Jim Johnston to lean in that direction for this song, really.
Oh, yeah, I can 100% believe that. And like you said, the line, "Oh, these words are true and I'll make you believe." Like, that is absolutely something you could hear, like, an elderly nun say to you in mass on a Sunday morning. Yeah, like, I can absolutely see Jim Johnson being inspired by that kind of the iconography of like Celtic crosses and stuff like that, and leaning into the kind of the religious side of things without being super specific either.
Right. And speaking of lyrics, I hate to spoil the fun here, but the line is not "lobster head," it's "lost your head." And as far as "too many limes" goes, again, it's not that either. It's "too many lies." And if you listen to the song on its own, the word is clearly "lies," not "limes." But I don't know. It makes for a fun meme, I guess. But but also, to clear something else up, Sean Jenness, he's the singer here. Again, not to spoil the fun, but that is not a real Irish accent he's doing. He's putting it on because he also did the vocals for the Ted DiBiase, Cody Rhodes theme, "Priceless."
Yeah!
So he's from Boston, he probably is Irish by descent, but yeah, he's not rocking the brogue in real life there, Liam, sorry to say.
I would love if the accent he uses on Priceless wasn't his real accent either, and just kind of leaned into that, and nobody actually knows what this man sounds like for real. Now, listen, he does a quite believable, has a nice Irish twang to him when he's singing the song, so I'm not going to give him too much shit for putting on an Irish accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the line he says isn't "written in my face, it's written in me face." So, yeah. You know, he's got that part down at least there, Lee. So, yeah. one more thing I want to bring up about this one here. There was an unused version of this song done by a different band later on. The band is called Flatfoot 56, and they're a Celtic punk band. They change up the rhythm and the tempo and put a mandolin in there as well. It's a very interesting take on a song while still being Celtic, of course, but I get that it may not have jived well with the presentation of the shows, so they never used it. I don't know, Lee.
I wasn't a fan at all. I think it sounds like something you'd hear in a Guy Ritchie movie. Like, I think it's really, really, like, just kind of leans into the folkiness of it. Like, it just, I don't know. It just doesn't work for me at all.
All right, to each their own, fair enough. So, in April 2015, Seamus returns from an injury with a new look and a new theme song. So RIP written in my face, sadly. And Seamus would have this theme to this very day. He still has it. This is CFOs with Hellfire. To the Gaelicness of Seamus's themes, as the Big Show theme would say, it's time to crank it up, because before, with Written in My Face, you had the Irish accented vocals and the flutes at the beginning, but it was primarily a rock song. This one, yeah, it's still got that heavy rock stuff driving the body of the song, but you've also got the bagpipes in there all throughout. You've got the rum-pa-pum-pa, rum-pa-pum-pa drumming in there that kind of evokes like an Irish army in the march, perhaps, and at the time, you know, Seamus changed his look, where he now had the mohawk, the braided beard, so he did look like some, you know, ancient Celtic warrior dude. You know, do I prefer Written in My Face over this one? Sure, but I think it still works for Seamus and this new spin on the character, Lee.
Yeah, for sure. I love, like I said, the drums in Written in My Face are, like, the highlight for me, but, I mean, the drums in this, they're just so... just heavy drums. You have the marching drum, then you have kind of have the heavy drum there in the background, just constantly going. I do really like this as well. It's not as good as Written in My Face, but this is just a good wrestling song, and I love that, like, the intensity of the marching drums in it. You get that, like, matches the intensity that Seamus walks in the ring, because he doesn't kind of leisurely stroll to the ring like some people. He has that kind of intensity to the way he walks, and the beat really just kind of matches and goes along with it.
Mm-hmm. And this is when they gave him the new entrance too, with the lights going out during the intro and the build up with the drums, and then when it kicks in, this, you know, blinding white light comes on with Seamus doing the pose on the stage, which is funny because he's so pale you can barely see him, which, you know, maybe the point, but but he says his catchphrase, which is, and I hope I get this right, Fach am Balach. Did I get that right at all, Lee?
Listen, I am not an Irish speaker, so you're asking the wrong person.
Never mind.
To me, Seamus's catchphrase is fella.
Yeah. but that is Gaelic for clear the way, which is an old Irish battle cry. So, again, leading more into the Gaelic side of things, not just with music, but with the look, the entrance, the catchphrase, all that stuff, clearly.
Yeah, and it's something that I think will always work to a broader audience, where, you know, sometimes Irish people and kind of Scottish people might roll their eyes at the kind of Celtic and Gaelic stuff, but it will always have an appeal to people outside of that circle.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like I said earlier, he's kept it to this day. You know, not just as a singles guy, but with the bar tag team with Cesaro and now with the Brawling Brutes and all that. So, it's one of the few CFOs themes that are still around today, knock on wood. And it's funny, you can criticize CFOs for the loops or whatever, but this is still a much more recognizable song than a lot of the ones in WWE nowadays, Lee, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think in spite of it being a loop, I think just the way it's designed, it doesn't feel like it's on a loop. It just kind of keeps going and going and going and kind of building. And it just works as a song.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So the final theme here is a stable theme that Seamus had for a little bit from late 2015 to 2016. The stable was Seamus, Alberto Del Rio, Rusev, and King Barrett. Yes, it's the League of Nations. Who could ever forget the League of Nations or their theme song? This is by CFOs, and it's called A League of Their Own. hey, wait a minute, where is Gina Davis? Where's Tom Hanks and Lori Petty and Madonna and all the rest? Yeah, to be honest, I'd rather talk about the movie A League of Their Own than the song A League of Their Own, or the League of Nations in general, really, because honestly, who cares about either of those things? The song is, you know, it's fancy procession music that you would have for, like, heads of state. So, you know, League of Nations, I get it. You can't really focus on one nation over another, so it has to be, like, a non-specific, you know, kind of quote-unquote global sound. I get all that, but at the same time, I don't care, because I don't care about the League of Nations either, which, given most of the talent in that group, that's pretty impressive to make me not care about them, but here we are, Lee.
Yeah, it was just, they were thrown together, they were given a thrown together song, and they just never, they never really felt accepted and kind of worth investing time in, and the song just really didn't help that aspect either. Now, look, everyone loves the lads, it was just that one of the lads just didn't really fit either, and was never very popular, but yeah, look, it's very forgettable. You have like the triumphant trumpets mixed in, you have kind of in the background, you have the little bit of marching drums again this time. It didn't work, it didn't suit any of the guys in the group either. It was just very ill thought out, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they were just put together to be fodder for Roman Reigns. That was pretty much it. It was like the scene in Rick and Morty with the butter robot. What is my purpose? You drop to Roman. Oh my god. Like, that was it, pretty much. And literally everyone involved with the group was like, this was a bad idea. It didn't go anywhere. It was just to be foils for Roman and put him over. Including Sheamus, who, by the way, won the world title during this time period. But, of course, he dropped it back to Roman soon afterwards. So, yeah, no one has any good memories of the group, the song, all of it, really. So, I guess this theme being so generic and forgettable is a good thing, because we should want to forget about it all, Lee. How about that?
I think that's fair enough. I don't think anyone will ever think too fondly of this era of WWE, and this is just something else that should be consigned to history and never thought about.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Music of the Mat. Thank you so much for listening, and Lee, thank you again. As always, an absolute pleasure whenever you're on here. And how about this? Next time you're on, we'll take a break from all things Ireland. How about that?
I think that's fair enough. Yeah, absolutely. And I will absolutely love to come back again.
Of course, for sure. Any plugs you want to give? Go right ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned that at the top of the show, Days of Thunder. Here on the VOW Podcast Network, every second Thursday, we drop a new episode covering WCW Thunder and WCW pay-per-views during the Thunder era. It's a very fun show. Even if the episodes of Thunder aren't very fun, we do our best to give some light entertainment to the listeners. And we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/WCW Thunderpod, where we do things like Days of Thunder at the Movies, where we cover movies featuring wrestlers. We do drafts. We do we have a series looking back at every Clash of the Champions called Rehash of the Champions. And yeah, we have many, many more things over there at patreon.com/WCW Thunderpod. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's WCW Thunderpod. And you can follow me on Twitter at Malone_713.
I ask you this every time you come on here, but where in the timeline are you on Days of Thunder?
We are up to the run-up to Slamboree 1999. And let me tell you, it's right at the precipice of going down to the very bottom of the hill, because Vince Russo isn't here yet, but oh boy, are things getting bad. Ric Flair is just about to enter the insane asylum, so that'll give you an idea.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. I'd say it gets better, but we all know it doesn't, unfortunately. So yeah, it's a long, slow descent into the depths of hell, my friend. I'm sorry.
I was informed on the Discord that the next episode of Nitro has two world title changes. So yay.
Oh, goody. Yeah, I mean, when you get to 2000, there's one like every 4 days or whatever. So look forward to that, I guess. I don't know.
Listen, Jeff Jarrett always wins, even when he doesn't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Music of the Mat is, of course, part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, just like Days of Thunder. You can find all the great shows on there at voicesofwrestling.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Music of the Mat. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew T. Rich. VoicesOfWrestling.com/Discord for all discussions and comments. VoicesOfWrestling.com/donate for any donations. Just click the big donate button beneath the name Music of the Mat. If you donate, hey, thanks so much. You're awesome. And of course, rate, review, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other places. Lee, thank you again, and I'll see you around.
Thank you, Andrew. Pleasure being here. Hopefully back soon.
All right, for Lee Malone, I'm Andrew Rich, and I'll see you next time on Music of the Mat. Take care, guys.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.